SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down. The Thursday night throwdown has begun. The NBA draft delivered craziness as expected. We thought it was going to be lit. It was going to be off the hook. And it's exactly what it was. It was total insanity. And we're going to break it all down. We got a full house here this evening. Teddy Covers is going to step up and in. Big Card Julio from Chicago kicks it with us. We've got Adam Trigger going to be throwing it down with us from Wager Talk. We talk USFL, the Big E. Eric Cohen throws it down as we break down the CFL, the USFL, the NBA draft, the Stanley Cup, Major League Baseball, and everything else in between. Craziness tonight. And it was insanity last night on the program with all the late line moves. And it continued throughout the day, man. It was a roller coaster. It was like microwave popcorn, all right? Seriously, it was just absolute insanity as far as these numbers. When it was all said and done, the Orlando Magic pulled the trigger with Paolo Banchero. He goes first overall. Chet Holmgren goes second to Oklahoma City. Jabari Smith was sitting there shocked. And I think you know, when you see Jabari Smith sitting there and you see the look on his face, you pretty much know. You're like, yeah, you know what? Even the players don't know. Right? Like, you think, well, the player would know he's about to get drafted or not? No. It's pretty clear. Even the players do not know. Jabari Smith was shocked. Paolo Banchero was shocked that he got drafted first overall. And Chet Holmgren knew all along he was going second to Oklahoma City. All right? So we're gonna break it all down and put it all together here on the program. As I stated, we got a full house tonight here this evening. Teddy Covers is going to step up and straight from the Strip of Las Vegas, Nevada. Or at least I think he will. We did have a we threw at each other pretty hard last week. Normally he retweets this stuff. Did he retweet the show tonight? Is Teddy? No, don't worry, Teddy. Teddy's on the radar. Like I said, Adam Trigger is going to step up and in and kick it with us as well tonight. We'll get into the USFL playoffs. We beat the CFL again tonight. We've been crushing the CFL this year, although I did get a little bit greedy with some in-game action. I pushed the envelope. I pushed the envelope a little bit. We got a couple of poll questions up right now. We got a couple of poll questions up. Basically, there's only four options in a poll question, all right? So I could only put four players, so then I decided to do another one after the fact. But I basically asked who's going to be the biggest superstar moving forward. Is it going to be Banchero? Is it going to be Ivy? Is it going to be Mathurin? Is it going to be Smith? And so far, 45% say Jaden Ivey. I personally think Ivy's going to kill it as well, and the Detroit Pistons are definitely a team on the rise right now. And listen, it's too early to play the winners and losers in all this type of stuff. I can't be a hypocrite. I always tell you guys, you can't judge a draft. You can't judge a draft, and you can't judge a trade, really, for a couple of years, to be honest. But we can give opinions. We can give opinions as far as... And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that any of these players are going to be a bust, because I'm not going to do that. I'll just tell you who I think is really going to stand out and kill it. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. All hell is broken loose. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. We throw it down on Sirius XM channel 159, a Mightier 1090 ESPN radio. Shout out to everybody wherever you may be tonight as the NBA draft. We knew that there was a lot of uncertainty coming into this NBA draft. We knew that it was going to be a lot of wow, oh my God type of moments tonight in the draft, but there were countless oh my effing God moments tonight in this draft, including Paolo Banchero ends up being the first pick overall. I can question Paolo Banchero being the first pick overall. I think that Banchero is going to be an automatic 28 guy for years to come, which is, you know, solid. He's going to give you 20-plus points. He's going to give you 8 to 10 rebounds. But I also wonder if he has as much upside and if the ceiling is as high as it is for some of the other players on the board. We break it all down. We take a look at the updated numbers, and we're fired up. We can't wait right now to as soon as we see some Rookie of the Year odds. Chet Holmgren ends up going second overall, the highest Gonzaga Bulldog pick ever in an NBA draft. He goes second overall to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Meanwhile, the Houston Rockets were definitely, you know, not expecting that Jabari Smith was going to be sitting there with the third pick. And so they pull the trigger, and then the surprise comes that the Sacramento Kings decided to go with Keegan Murray. Now, I got nothing against Keegan Murray, and I've said it a million times. I don't judge drafts until a couple of years in. But unless they really knew, and we talked about this as far as Jaden Ivey not wanting to go to Sacramento. Now, I saw an interview with him tonight before the draft, and he said he doesn't care where he goes, that that basically he just listened to his agents, and they handled who got medicals and who he met with, and that he trusted the people around him. Well, the people around him evidently made the right choice, in which they sent the message to Sacramento that he's not down with this. They end up going with Keegan Murray, and the Detroit Pistons knock it out of the park, and they get Jaden Ivey, Ben Mathurin. We talked a lot about Ben Mathurin. Pete Yiannopoulos joined us earlier in the week. He told us he thought he was going to end up with the Pacers. Ben Mathurin ends up with the Pacers. We cash and take it with Shaedon Sharpe. He goes seventh overall to the Portland Trailblazers. We break it all down. When's the summer league starting? Let's do this thing. Full house tonight. Teddy Cover, straight for the Strip of Las Vegas, Nevada. Adam Trigger talks USFL football. Big Card Julio from Chicago. And more. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down some Thursday night. Throw down. A lot of craziness tonight in the NBA draft. Man, I'm almost scared to look and see how we did. We definitely lost money. But the question is it a ton of money that we lost, or is it just sort of, you know? And I got to be honest with you, it's frustrating only, and I didn't lose a ton or anything, but it's frustrating because this is the first draft in four drafts that I didn't just crush it, right? Last year NFL draft, we crushed it. Last year NBA draft, we crushed it. This year's NFL draft, we crushed it. This NBA draft was whack, man. All right, it was whack, bro. You have a better chance going to an amusement park and hitting like 10 free throws in a row in a crooked rim. All right, do we have Teddy Covers yet? Is Teddy ready in Las Vegas? We're going to make contact with Ted Savransky straight for the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Teddy steps up right in on a Thursday night throwdown. I am Gabe Morenci. What's up, Teddy?
Morenci, what's a good word tonight, buddy?
Well, we're fired up, Teddy. I'm excited. And you know what? You know, it was the NFL draft. You got, you know, you and I, we saw each other with the show, and I appreciate you coming down to the MGM Grand. So one thing, you know, you get the NFL draft, you're all fired up, you're talking about NFL teams, and maybe you get some futures in, but you're betting NFL props. But then there's that letdown where it's like, oh, yeah, they're not playing for 5 months, right? Like, you know what I mean? After, like, that Monday and Tuesday after the draft, I find it's a little bit cooler, at least, with the NBA draft. It doesn't have the same punch, obviously, as the NFL draft does, but we see these players drafted, we see where they're going. We know basketball, only 5 guys, so rookies can have a bigger impact early. Not all of them, but rookies can have an impact early in the NBA. And also, Teddy, I like the fact that it's not like we're talking about something and then we got to wait until October. There is the NBA Summer League, right? And the Summer League's gotten more and more competitive over the years. I saw an interview with Jaden Ivey earlier tonight, and they asked him what his goals are, and he said goal number one is to get drafted. Goal number two, win the MVP of the Summer League, right? So no, but at least, you know, we don't have to wait. It's not the NBA season, Teddy, but at least we don't have to wait to see the kids that we just saw in suits tonight. We're going to see them on the floor in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we will see them on the floor in Las Vegas in a couple of weeks, but they won't be with any of the veterans around them. You know, it's. I mean, the Las Vegas Summer League is like a NFL mini camp that gets more hype because the teams are playing against one another, and you do get a chance to see the rookies play and how they play against the NBA competition.
Well, you also get a chance to bet on it, too.
Yeah. You do a lot with the Summer League? Because I don't ever remember betting on a Summer League game.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, put it this way, Teddy. Yeah. Like, you know, so when I was living there, I remember going into the Strat and stuff, and I'd be like, oh, good, all right, they've got two Summer League games up. Like, it was like the Lakers game. You know what I mean? Like, the Lakers, they've essentially, they've had a couple, right? They had a couple. It wasn't like the full onslaught. Now, and, you know, offshore, internationally, they were ahead of the curve with the live in-game and everything. Like everything, Teddy, right now, with the influx of betting everywhere, people want to bet, right? And you'll see that. I mean, you know that this year the NBA Summer League handle will be at all-time high. It's grown and grown, Teddy. From I know you used to go. I remember I did a show with Jorge at the Thomas and Mack Center, and, you know, there were a couple of thousand people there. But now, dude, they got multiple courts, multiple arenas. It's on TV every game. It's big time, Teddy, this stuff. I got to tell you, though, Teddy, I don't want to call you out. I think you're getting lazy in your old age, Teddy.
Maybe.
No USFL. Like, as much, you used to be the arena guy, no summer league, you know, you're getting too mainstream, Teddy.
I don't know. I don't know if lazy is the word I would use. Okay, for a guy that works 7 days a week.
No, I know, but it's adding a new thing to the rotation, right? Yeah. That's the whole thing. It takes more work. It's new work.
And in the summertime, that's not what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm not adding more work in the summer. You know, I'm an old guy now. I'm not a young guy anymore.
So I was right. I just said it.
For it. I don't make any bones about it, you know, because for my clients, the most important thing is football season, followed by basketball season, followed by baseball season. It's in that order. All right. So if I'm going to take my time in July and August, and not to say that it can't be done, obviously you do it, but for me,
yeah, but I don't have a wife and kids though either, so that's another thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And they do want to see them. They don't see me a whole lot during season.
No, I didn't say lazy. I'm not saying that. I was busting your balls, but because you know. Like I said, you used to be into the Arena League, right, and stuff like that. And now, you know, you got the USFL, which sort of is, you know, it's sort of the new type of situation. I've enjoyed the USFL, Teddy. I've enjoyed it. I got Adam Trigger coming out later. He does a good job. He's really into it. Ravino's really into it. I'm into everything, right? I'm into everything. And I've even added Formula One now, Teddy, to my new Saturday.
I was going to ask you about it. I saw you tweeting on it all weekend.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, you know, I've always bet on Formula One, Teddy, but you know, I'd take the guy, I think he's going to win the race, or you know what I mean? Now I'm betting, like, constructor championship point head-to-head matchups, and, like, this guy top six, and this guy, like, dude, there's so many options to bet on F1, Teddy. It's crazy. So as far as the NBA draft and betting, dude, we were live last night on the air. I'm a big draft bettor and stuff in all these leagues. Never in my life, Teddy. I'm not just exaggerating. No one asked anybody. Never seen anything like this before, bro. Never seen anything like this before. All you need to know, like, Jabari Smith was minus 400 yesterday. Then Paulo Banchero was minus 200 last night in the overnight hours. An hour before the draft, Jabari Smith was minus 400 again. Paulo Banchero gets taken first overall. Dude, it was a mess as far as the odds are concerned, Teddy. Nobody knew. It was almost like... People, I'm not even kidding. It was almost like there was like a computer glitch or something. I was like, is there a computer glitch or something going on here? Whacked out draft, Teddy, as far as the odds are concerned.
Sure. And I mean, what's the old, our friend Dave Sherapin, you always use the expression, nobody knows squadoosh.
Yeah, well, he's right tonight.
But to say you never say, I mean, you know.
Never, Teddy. Not like this, bro.
When it goes back and forth and then back again and the back is wrong?
No, not from these type of numbers. Not from the extreme.
So with Drayvon Walker in the NFL, Drayvon Walker was 20-1.
Yeah, yeah,
he was one overall pick.
Yeah, he was like 12, 14 to 1. But yeah,
20?
Yeah, weeks, not the day before the draft he wasn't.
No. But
not an hour before the draft.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no, listen, four guys were favored to be number one in the draft. So it goes to show, Teddy, let's just take plus money on everybody in these drafts because that's what happens now. Nobody knows anything.
Well, what happened was, so the there were two competing groups of information, shall we say. There was the betting group that loaded up on Banchero, right? On Banchero, that switched the odds overnight prior to the draft. Then all the mainstream info, Woj came out in the morning saying, no, no, it's going to be 1, 2, 3, and Smith is going number one. Bleacher Report had a similar, their guys were saying the same thing. And the mainstream guys were wrong. The sharp money was right. We've seen that before once or twice, haven't we?
I wouldn't give these so-called sharps too much credit. Audit, but because I, the term sharp and all that, but you got to give them credit. Whoever got in at 16-1 and stuff like last week, right?
Even plus 400 today.
Yeah, that's not like that. It was insane. It was insane. The shuff. I tried, Teddy. I was jumping in on this and that, but I was a day late, dollar short all the time, and I was pretty much like everything. I was like, no, this. I don't know. Banchero's not going here. I knew Chet Holmgren was going to go to Oklahoma City, and then the Keegan Murray threw me off with the fourth pick. Well,
let me just jump in right there, because you can, the draft will go fine, and then the Kings will pick.
Yeah, I know, you're right. And I sort of knew that would happen. And then there's the Kings, they could really shake things up. Yeah, you're right.
And then mess up your whole draft, because then all the
And we'll get it on the other side. Because the Detroit Pistons.
The players the Kings should have taken, and you knew they were going to take. Oh, my God, how did they not take,
exactly. I said the same thing. No, you don't know what the Kings. So, like, the draft started at 4 tonight, but it really started at 1 in the end. More with Teddy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I can't believe we're on the Canadian Olympic basketball team. Yep, it's just that easy.
Wow, that was close. You can be the center.
Yeah, shut up, Milhouse. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Canadians go 6-7 in the draft tonight. Ben Mather in Arizona goes to the Pacers. We talked a lot about him. We told you. We had the insight. I should have just hammered it. But the thing with the bet with Mather is he was only going to go to the Pacers or the Blazers. But we had his buddy on the other day, and he told us Pacers, right? He said Pistons, Pacers, Blazers were the only three teams that were like real. Like Ben knew, and I could read the tweet. Somebody today in the business sent me a thing. They said, Marenzi, I know you know about Ben Mather, and what's the take? I said, his people think he's going to the Pacers. And boom, he goes to the Pacers. So, because I tell you what, though, Teddy, we got Teddy Covers with us. I'll tell you what, Teddy. I think Ben Mather went to the Pacers at 6, but things got weird, like you said, with the Kings. And let's get into the Detroit Pistons right now, because I think you can make, I don't know, I Jaden Ivey's special. I think he's going to be a big-time NBA player. They already got Cade Cunningham. I really like what the Pistons are building here, Teddy. So I think they were stoked that, oh, wow, suddenly Jaden Ivey is here. So that shook things up a little bit, because I'm not positive they would have went with Keegan Murray, the Pistons. They might have went Ben Mathurin. They might have went Shaedon Sharpe, actually. I'd be curious to know what the Pistons would have done if Jaden Ivey didn't fall to them. But I really like Jaden Ivey to the Pistons. I think he's a great player. I think he's a great fit to play with Cade Cunningham, Teddy. He played at Purdue. He's a Big Ten guy, so he's staying in Big Ten country here. We know about his mother being, she's a coach. He's a smart kid, smart basketball guy. Love the Jaden Ivey pick to the Pistons.
So in the 2020 NBA draft, the Pistons picked their point guard of the future, Killian Hayes. And in the 2021 draft, the Pistons picked their point guard of the future, Cade Cunningham. And now today, the Pistons pick their point guard. Wait a minute. They already have two other point guards of the future on the roster. Not to dismiss the pick. All right, the best player available was Jaden Ivey, but the Pistons have two guys in the rotation ahead of him right now at that position, and now they're talking about playing the combo guard, like Cunningham and Ivey together. I don't know if that works. I don't think it's a slam dunk. And while he was the best player available at their position. Pistons have bigger needs in point guard, don't you think?
Who would you have taken instead of him?
I don't know. I'm wrong about all this stuff.
I think, yeah. No, I don't think you're wrong. But you know what, Teddy? Oh, that's the one thing I stay away from. It's the one thing I stay away from is trying to become John Wooden and talking about how people are going to match up together and all this. And scouting reports. I love, well, this guy can't handle this. He can't do that. Josh Giddey tonight was laughing on Twitter. He reposted his scouting analysis from last year. Right. Can't handle the ball, can't shoot, can't do this, can't do that, right? He had a bunch of, he goes, well, I guess this was wrong, right? He tweeted, I'll find it, actually. It was great. So, you know what, Teddy, the one thing, actually, I'm glad you brought it up, actually, because it sort of shakes something in my head. That the difference with the NFL draft, Teddy, because you wonder, well, man, how come it's not the same, the NBA? Like, you know, I don't know. It's not the same to draft, but also, Teddy, because the NFL, you know the Bengals aren't taking another quarterback. You just said something that's bang on. The NBA, they'll take a guy that's the same damn position as their star player already. You know what I mean? So, like, you can't, like, the NFL, you can logically say, all right, we know. All right, like last year, we knew. The Bengals are going to go with the wide receiver. They're going to go with the offensive lineman. Right, they're going to go with Sewell or they're going to go with Chase. We knew it, right? They need wide receiver. They need this. You know what I mean? So you sort of know the need. All right, we know they're going D-line. We know what teams are doing, and we know the second choice or the option that the team will go. In the NBA, you just said it. They'll just draft a player, and they'll just sort of throw all these guys on the court and hope that they sort of mesh, Teddy. But let's be real, Teddy. Wouldn't you agree that the NBA is becoming more and more and more and more and more hybrid, right, from the traditional positional players? It's basically put the five best guys on the floor you can get.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, when you say, all right, well, they drafted a point guard last year and a point guard the year before, and, you know, everyone's a combo guard now, et cetera, et cetera. There are worse problems to have than too many talented young guards.
And ball handlers, yeah.
Yeah, agree. You know, that said, you know, when you look at the Pistons last year, it wasn't like, I mean, again, with any of the rebuilding teams, it's not about, okay, what they looked like last year. It's about, let's get the pieces in place so we can make a playoff run, and then we'll see what we need to try to make a championship run. So, you know, the step one of the process is accumulate talent. And step two of the process is make the postseason. And then step three of the process is figure out.
I swear to God, hold on, Teddy. I swear there was something bothering me. I was like, God, these phones upset me. It was your air conditioning, wasn't it? Because I noticed things. Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, God, that's better. Don't worry, I'm getting sort of obsessive, compulsive, and insane about noises and stuff.
A little?
Okay. Just a little. Yeah, I'm sorry, Teddy. Just.
And let me tell you this. There are places where I'm, whether I have no problem, I don't need the AC. In Vegas, if I'm doing shows over the summer,
yeah, I'm on the third floor. I appreciate your time. Okay, so yeah, you're right. They got Sadiq Bey. They got Bagley. Listen, Isaiah Stewart's a nice player, Teddy. Isaiah Stewart, they're very thin, this team, still. That's the thing with the Pistons. We're not saying this team's ready to take the world over, but I think they got a very good player. You know, one thing with the Pistons I was thinking is I didn't think Ben Mathurin was the perfect fit for Cade either. I actually was thinking, you know what, Shaedon Sharpe. He's young. He's raw. If you're the Pistons, you're still rebuilding, and this kid's just a pure scorer, right? He doesn't even need the ball in his hands. He's just a pure scorer. He can shoot and stuff, you know, and a type of kid that you put on a team that they can sort of cultivate a little bit. But Portland saw the same thing by grabbing this kid as well. So,
but Jalen Duren's a nice pickup for Detroit. You know, he's got...
Well, yeah, that's another one they add for the kid from Memphis. Well, he would have been a nice pickup for the Knicks. Knick fans, Teddy, are flipping.
As they should be.
I mean, the Knicks. It's like not giving your kid anything at Christmas, Teddy. Like, it really is. Like, think about it. Only the Knicks can have the draft in their hometown, have an arena full of rabid fans chanting, go Knicks, go, before the pick. Draft the pick, trade the pick, and then trade another, and like walk away and say, oh, don't worry, we're stockpiling. Like, for what? Like, for Jalen Brunson, evidently, Teddy. They're going to have a big free agent market, Jalen Brunson. Dude, I don't know what the hell the Knicks are doing. They're going to whack this team.
So, first of all, Brunson would be a nice pickup. You know, let's not underestimate Brunson. If the Knicks got Brunson, they'd be better than that.
But don't you think he's going to get overpaid for having a couple of nice games in the playoffs? He's not a star.
Yeah, but I like Brunson's upside. I do.
Yeah, I get it.
And the guy's a winner, and that means something to me. You know, the kids that won titles in college, it means something to me. And Brunson's one of those kids. So that being said, I mean, the Knicks are Sacramento East.
Yeah, you know, that's a good comparison, yeah.
Organization-wise, I mean, at no point in the Dolan era have the Knicks done anything right. That hasn't changed. It's been, what, 20-something years now? 25 years of mediocrity.
I think they've won two playoff series in 22 years.
Yeah, they made the run in 99 as the 8th
seed. Yeah, to the finals, yeah.
Gundy year where they're all dragging on Alonzo Mourning's leg and all that. But since that time, there was nothing. There's been nothing but consistent failure in New York. And that's,
they're a lot like the Washington football team, Teddy. I was reading about something about Snyder's just a train wreck. This guy really is unbelievable. Like, so it turns out Snyder told his personnel at the stadium, the football stadium, to pour milk under the seats in hard-to-place places in a luxury box that the Washington Nationals owner owned so it would smell like sour milk when he went to the games. This is what Snyder's obsessed with, Teddy.
Shoot.
Like, he's insane. So, but same thing. Like, Washington, guys, 23 seasons, Dan Snyder's on the team. They've won two playoff games. It's like, dear God, like, you think it's exaggerated, like, but it's not. But I've said it before, Teddy, it's sort of like the Browns. Look at the Cleveland Browns now. They screw everything up no matter what. You know what I mean? So we saw Deshaun Watson. Yeah, good for you. He's going to get suspended for 2 years probably. You got to pay this quarterback $18 million. You screwed yourself on the cap. Like, everything you do, I guess, Teddy, the best way of saying it is, and like you called it with the Kings and the Knicks, and look at the Raptors tonight, stealing Koloko at 33. Winning teams do winning things. Losing teams. Another example, Teddy, I'll throw it to you. I said this, you can find a tweet from last year if you guys want to, you don't believe me. I said at the time, Teddy, I said, so you're telling me the Patriots got Mac Jones at 15 and the Jets got Zach Wilson at 2? I said, that's why they're the Pats and they're the Jets. You know what I mean? It repeats itself, doesn't it, Teddy, with these bad organizations?
And you know, as a, this is one of the reasons why I'm not a fan, you know, anymore. Because as a fan, you literally are powerless. You know, you get a bad owner. I was a Knicks fan growing up, you know?
Yeah.
Just Knicks and Rangers. James Dolan buys the Knicks, and guess what? All right.
Poor bastard, you weren't a Yankee. At least you had a little bit of glory with the Mets. You had that one, right?
Yeah, but recognize that when I'm in elementary school, when being a sports fan matters. You know, it's all Yankees fans, and that's the straw that stirs the drink, and Reggie Jackson, and I'm the Mets fan, as the Mets finish in last place. So.
I'm still a fan. I still get into it.
And I'm not.
But I don't.
Yeah.
But I don't. I don't, like, basically, like, I put it this way, Teddy. I'm still a fan, but I get over it about 30 seconds after the game's over. You know what I mean? I'm not waking up the next morning like, oh my God, I can't believe the Raptors are eliminated. My life, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, that's that.
My brother-in-law sends emails to the Red Sox, you know what I mean?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Brian, care to place a wager? Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Oh, yeah, we roll in the late night anger management class. This is Portridge. I am Morency. Teddy Covers joining us, favorite distributor in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sirius XM channel 159, a Mightier 1090. Speaking of air conditioning, I'm wearing a Raptors hoodie right now, and I think it was a bad decision, starting to get a little hot in here. But we're fired up. We're in NBA mood. right now. And as I was stating earlier, we got the NBA Summer League coming up in a couple of weeks, too. So it's cool that we get to see these players hit the court. And in this hyper, uber competitive era that we're in right now, like I said, Jaden Ivey already said goal number one, win MVP of the Summer League. Right. So I like that these kids come up firing right now. Does it have any meaning at all on the regular season? No, none. But still fun. You can bet on it. Another cool thing to bet on, Teddy, is the TBT. It's called the basketball tournament. And it's basically, it's for like $1 million. So the winning team gets $1 million. And it's like college alum. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, former Syracuse players versus former Dayton Fly, you know what I mean? Dayton players and, you know, whatever. So it's all different schools that have alum. They pay the money to enter. There's $1 million for it. It's on ESPN, TBT. Or there's former NBA guys in it and stuff. Like, you could just put a team together if you want. Overseas elite, like Joe Johnson is always in it and with a bunch of, like, former NBA guys. They won a couple of times. Great stuff, though. It's really, really a lot of fun. They use the Elam ending and the games and stuff. It's been on for a couple of years on ESPN. So for basketball junkies, there's a lot of stuff going on. And I will just say, Teddy, to wrap up with the Pistons, I like it. I think it's a great fit because Cade Cunningham isn't a pure sort of scorer kid. He likes passing the ball. He's a multifaceted kid. He's not a selfish player. And now you add a scorer. You see with the Warriors, Teddy, right now, in the modern era, it's sort of like with the Rams and in football, you can never have too much speed, talent, wide receivers, shooters. You know what I mean? And, you know, you almost have to go overkill in today's day and age. I really like this. If you're talking about the Pistons, bro, Cade Cunningham's a great player. Jaden Ivey's a great player. They got two great players. Sadiq Bey is pretty good in his own right. And they even have some money when they got rid of Jeremy Grant here. I like what the Pistons are doing, Teddy. I'm going to bet their season win total as long as it's nice and low.
I don't disagree conceptually with liking Detroit. And when you talk about, again, you know, how do you get from here to there? You're in the lottery. You're at the bottom of the lottery. The first step is respectability, you know. But the NBA punishes mediocrity, all right? When you're a team that's, you know, bouncing around the eighth seed or the play-in game or whatever
it is. Utah's in the world in the middle there.
You never get the high draft choices to restock. So you have to hit home runs, you know, or be lucky in the draft and get your stud with the 10th pick or the 15th pick or the 20th pick, which, again, can and does happen. But you got to be spot on multiple times to get the elite talent that you need. And to be competing for a championship, you know, you need the super duper duper stars. You know, you need to, and more than one. And obviously, those aren't guys that are easy to come by when you're drafting 10th and 15th and 20th. So it makes sense to tank in the NBA in a real way. It makes sense to try to stock up on the top draft choices. And if you're a team like Sacramento and stocks up on them and then fails to develop them and trades them away and can't re-sign anyone and starts the process over and over and over again for 20 years. I don't know the Pistons are going to be in this spot for 20 years. I do think they are likely to improve in 2022-23.
For the record, Agbaji, the kid from Kansas, goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're putting together some nice talent. And you know, not to mention, too, we've been talking so much about Jaden Ivey, but if you're the Pistons, bringing in Jalen Duren as well, Teddy. You know, this kid's another one. I mean, he's an instant rebounder. Like I said, I'd be pretty excited. I'd be pretty excited if I was a Detroit Piston fan. Going in the right direction. Still a couple of years away, but definitely going in the right direction. So, Teddy, let's get into some Major League Baseball. So that's your focus right now? That's your deal here on a daily basis? The baseball.
Baseball and then football. Yeah, you can go wherever you want in football, man. I'm NFL. I'm up to speed. College football, we're getting there. So you tell me where you want to go, my friend.
You know what? I'm ready for college football. I'm getting some college football fever, actually, Teddy. And let me throw some at you here too. And I'm going to go with this for Sooner Lisa in Oklahoma. I like this Oklahoma team. And let me ask you here too. So Texas gets Archie Manning. So now with this NIL stuff, Teddy, whatever, man. The Longhorns are like a pro team. The Texas Longhorn quarterbacks make more money than like some NFL quarterbacks do, literally and figuratively.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're making more money than, like, the third-string guy is and some backups. So, there's word about Texas paying a kid $8 million. He's going to make $8 million if he fulfills all the obligations of the contract type thing with the NIL. So, Archie Manning, now they got Quinn Ewers this year. You're buying or selling Sarkisian and his Texas, all this talent that's coming in here.
So, Sark is a pretty incredible guy, okay? He must interview very, very well. You know what I mean? When you think about his career path.
Yeah.
And the repeated failures.
He's fallen upwards a lot, hasn't he? He's one of these guys.
He sure has, you know. And you got to, you know, he's like Lane Kiffin. The guy's got to interview real well or something. Where, you know, you keep falling up. Texas has had a lot of talent every year for the last decade. It's not like anything's different in that regard.
No, but now they have the best talent. But they've had talent before, but not the best. You know what I mean? Now this is like they're getting the best players now.
Sure. Well, some of them. That works when they go to the SEC.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, they can't win in the Big 12, Teddy, let alone the SEC.
They went 3-6 in the Big 12 last year, 5-7 overall. With Sark, who is going to make all the difference, you know. For Texas, the talent is there. But the hype and the point spreads come with the talent. They've been an overvalued commodity for a decade, more than a decade. You know, year in, year out, if you play against Texas, you've made money. I'm not convinced that. You know, let's put it this way. They're going to have to prove to me otherwise, which they may be able to do. But again, you talk about a recruit, you know, Arch Manning coming in. Yeah. Is he going to start week one as a freshman? I hope not for the state of the program.
Yeah, and if you already got Quinn Ewers, so like Archie, man, you don't bring in Archie Manning to sit on the bench too much, do you, Teddy? Like, I'm sure it was part of the deal. For the record, their win total is 8.5. I almost want to say under right away here, but I haven't dug into the, you know, everything here with Texas. I just want to get your take because Archie Manning did decide with the Texas Longhorns today. That's the nephew. So, in other words, this is the kid of the other brother, Cooper, right? It's Cooper's kid.
It's Cooper's kid, right.
And again, Cooper's
kid. Look at their schedule. They've got Alabama week two.
So that's a loss.
Yeah, they have the Red River rivalry.
Loss.
And every other game in theory, you know, they'll be chalk. They're not going to be dogs at Oak State. They're not going to be dogs at Kansas State. They're not going to be dogs at Kansas. So, you know, their road schedule was actually fairly friendly. For what it's worth, it's, you know, in theory, it's supposed to be a big season.
Well, let's switch gears here. FanDuel's got a number up right now for the Oklahoma Sooners. 8.5 minus 155. I know there's some 9.5s out there, but they've got an 8.5 shaded to the over at minus 155, Teddy. And what everybody's going to talk about Lincoln Riley, and everyone's going to talk about the Texas Longhorns now. Nobody's really talking about the Oklahoma Sooners, and they're still freaking stacked, okay? They're still stacked. They still have a ton of talent. They bring in Dylan Gabriel at the quarterback position right now. Brent Venables is a defensive genius, Teddy. The defensive ranks at Clemson. This is the last 5 years. First, second, first, and fourth ranked in the country. That's the Clemson Tiger defense. So now he brings his schemes into the Big 12 here. For the record, Oklahoma were ranked 39th in defense last year. I don't think they're going to miss a beat. And I like what Bob Stoops said about this Lincoln Riley. He goes, you know, Oklahoma football existed before Lincoln Riley. He didn't even win a title there. Like he didn't even win a title. You know what I mean? Like he didn't do what Barry Switzer did. He didn't do what Stoops did. And now Venables comes home here. I think people are sleeping on this Oklahoma Sooner team. Minus 155 over 8.5. Gladly, Teddy. Gladly. I think the Sooners roll this year and could be in the playoffs, actually.
And when you're talking about win totals in college football, all right, you said there were some 9.5s out there. You like the 8.5 with juice to the over. All right. A win total in college football, a win can be worth like $2 in the market. The difference between 9.5 and 8.5.
So you're saying NFL, you wouldn't want to lay the 55, but college, you jump at it, right?
College football, you don't even think twice.
Yeah.
I mean, how many games can Oklahoma lose on there? You know, if it's a disaster campaign, it's a different story. But assuming things play to form, they're not losing to UTEP, they're not losing to Kent State, they have to travel to Nebraska, you know, at TCU, they have Texas, at Iowa State, at West Virginia, Oklahoma State's not winning 11 games again this year, winning the conference. At Texas Tech in the finale. I mean, it's not like these aren't games that Oklahoma can't win. 8.5 is a good number. I mean, when you look at that schedule, it's really hard to see. Yeah, this is going to be a four-loss team. I don't see four losses for Oklahoma this year.
You agree? What do you think about Venables? I think this is not. He's going to win. It's going to change the culture a little bit. They're going to be tougher and meaner right now. They'll still be good. And dude, they brought in their offensive coordinator, the Lane Kiffin guy, the guy from Ole Miss. So they're not going to go conservative on offense. They're going to be springing. They're going to be running, airing it out on offense, and they're going to have a nasty culture on defense. I mean, this is, you know, it's basically they're looking to be what Clemson are.
I don't disagree with anything that you're saying there, but. Anytime there's transition, anytime you're talking about here's a guy who hasn't been a head coach and now he's a head coach. Some guys do that transition very well. Other guys, not as much. You know, look at Vic Fangio. He's as good a defensive mind as there is, and his tenure in Denver didn't exactly work out. And again, it's a very different scenario. Fangio is an older guy. Venables is younger. But it's not like it's an auto go when a defensive coordinator, an elite coordinator, becomes a head coach for the first time. Then again, you don't get handed the keys to the Oklahoma program without doing something right. I think Venables will be just fine, and I'm with you in theory. If I'm playing the Sooners, I'm playing them. I love that number, 8.5, -155. That's a better number than
you can find in
the marketplace. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm seeing a lot of 9.5. That's at FanDuel right now, -155. Teddy, what's your take on the Michigan Wolverines? Is this sort of did they overachieve last year? And I mean, look, they lost, you know, they lost somebody who was the favorite to be for about a month there to the top pick in the draft in Aiden Hutchinson. And not just him, Ojabi, we can go on. They are still loaded. They are talented. He's recruited well. It's 9.5 right now, Teddy. Are you looking for regression from Harbaugh and the Wolverines or sustainability in the 10-win range?
That's the right number for Michigan is 9.5. I think the number is very much right.
And it's at Columbus this year, we should note, right? They're playing at Ohio State.
Sure. I mean, the Wolverines have had their issues at the QB position throughout the Harbaugh era. That's been the biggest weakness for Michigan. That doesn't look like a hole this year. And I think that bodes well for their chances to have another.
Yeah, and Carr's kid. You see Carr's kid pick Notre Dame over Michigan? His grandkid.
Yeah.
People are surprised. Maybe we shouldn't have fired Lloyd Carr. Maybe he would have picked us. More with Teddy on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Level 3. We're stacked tonight. The big year. Cohen will join us in the late night hours. We got Adam Trigger talking USFL football. We've got Julio Rosario joining us in level 2. And we're into the 3-minute warning right now. Level 1 with the great Teddy Covers. Follow him on Twitter at Teddy_Covers. WagerTalk.com. So, Teddy, I guess you could argue, man, the Yankees at -126 is pretty good value tomorrow. It's insane when you consider their record. Looking at some big series this week. The Cleveland Guardians have been playing great baseball over the last month. You know, the Boston Red Sox and the Guardians this weekend. Yankees somehow come back and do it again today. I was on the Astros tonight, Teddy. I was really focused on the draft and the CFL football game tonight, but I did have the Astros comfortable cruising 6-3, end up losing. It never ends. This Yankee team just keeps winning. -126 overnight number right now.
So do you remember that year where the Dodgers came out of the All-Star break and just won every game for like a month? They were like, I don't know. It was better than 40. It wasn't like 42-8 or something. The books have no answers. When a hot team gets hot, like the Yankees are in baseball, in football, eventually the point spread gets big enough. All right, they're laying -14. Now they're laying -17. Now they're laying -21. You know, in baseball, you can never turn a winner into a loser based on the line. So when a team like the Yankees gets hot and stay hot, the books just get burned and burned and burned. Eventually, it'll turn. The Yankees aren't going to win 122 games this year like they're on pace to right now.
I think they will.
If they do, you can make a whole lot of money riding them still.
Put it this way, Teddy. I think there's a better chance of them getting to 120 than them winning the World Series. Like, I don't think, I don't know, I'm not in love with them for the Winter World Series right now, are you? Is it a slam dunk in your mind?
Well, winning the World Series about who gets hot in October.
Exactly.
Well, in October. Nothing to do with what you do in June.
The ball doesn't fly as much, too, if you're a home run team. A lot of stuff changes, man. A lot of stuff changes. All right, you got a baseball overnight pick for us?
Yeah, but the Red Sox.
All right, I'm not going to argue.
Pavetta's money, man. Pavetta's are making me money.
Let's do it. Thanks, Teddy.
Cheers, guys.
Bring it.